I was a Boy Scout for about a year, and after that I got into sports and junior high school. And I didn't have time for them, but I tell you what, they got a good motto: be prepared. I've heard some people making fun of the preparation and the warnings that were given. But man, look at the people it's hit. I am so thankful it didn't hit here. I am so thankful that I didn't have to wade out of my house or be delivered or be sitting in a cot in an old abandoned school 100 miles away from where, you know, my whole house was. There's a disaster and there's people been killed. We need to really pray for mercy upon all the people that have been hit here in Texas and maybe even Louisiana. And you may even know some of them, but it's a burden. It really is. And I'm a little bit of a be prepared guy. I got a set of tools in my trunk I've been carrying all the time. I don't even think I know how to use them anymore, but I got them still in the trunk. I got an old pair of coveralls in that trunk so I can have dry clothes on if something happens somewhere. I got a tow chain back out there, and I got jumper cables, and I probably have still some of Erlene's clothes in the trunk. I'm be prepared, you know. I would a whole lot rather spend some money, some time, and a little bit of effort to prepare before something, and it doesn't hit. I say, praise the Lord, a little bit of work, no problem. Then to not be prepared, and it did hit. There's some people that they were told to evacuate and they didn't. And I've watched a lot of news on this thing, and even went to the National Weather Channel and watched what they were saying. And it's a disaster. It just didn't hit us. Praise God it didn't hit us. But we need to pray for those that it did hit. Turn to chapter 59 for me, please. I'm not going to have you stand up and read because I'm just going to read a couple of verses. And I'll just read them. Chapter 59 of Isaiah, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities is separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Let's pray. Lord, you know the hearts of all of us here. And I pray that you'd give me wisdom and ability that only you can give. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch hearts and lives, mine included, to all the people here today that hear this message. Give me a freedom and ease to speak it so that it will do your will. And forgive us where we fail you. Help us today, Lord. I do pray for all of those that are hurting and are in pain or discomfort because of this tremendous storm. We ask your mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad you're here today. You're faithful Christians, most of you. I don't see hardly any visitors, so I'm talking to us home folks, mostly. I was saved in the midst of a tremendous revival. I was out in Roswell, New Mexico, and had some friends invite me to go to a church. And that church was on fire. It was a big church, a big Southern Baptist church, about 500 in Sunday school every week. And I had my next door neighbor that had gotten saved and was going there, and some others. And because of my next door neighbor, he brought this preacher by, and we talked all night, not all night, till about 11 o'clock. And basically, within a week or so, I went back, and the preacher, it was just like, I'm sitting way back in the back of the auditorium, next to last pew at least, with my wife, who's almost delivered Billy, Eddie was around, and that preacher was talking to me. Have you ever had that feel that way? Amen. Have you ever had a preacher just talk to you? He doesn't know you. He doesn't know anything about you. The Holy Spirit of God has taken what he's done and zeroed in on your heart and your mind. That's what he did. And I got saved that night at home in my own house. I called on the Lord and I prayed. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning before I knew I was saved. Wow, did I get a change. I got a change when I got saved. I was a church member. I'd been baptized twice. Sprinkled when I was a little Methodist boy, 11 years old. And then at 18 when I married Verlene, I thought she's a better Christian than I am. So we went to a Baptist church and they immersed me. You believe in Christ? Yes, I believe in Christ. Need to be baptized? I'll be baptized. That's fine. I was a church member 10 years before I got saved. But I got saved. And an amazing thing, I surrendered to preach. The same day I got saved, I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, gambling, and surrendered to preach. You talk about an emotional roller coaster. With all of those things and me changing my life like that, boy, Verlene got a new husband. I went through a tremendous thing. And I'm so excited about it. I'm just so excited about it. And I called my daddy. And my daddy had been a believer. He'd been a believer since he was a young man. He was a sweet Christian. He was not a faithful Christian to churches. He didn't work in a church at all. He didn't preach or anything like that. And when he went to church, he mostly went on a Sunday morning. That's where our family was. My daddy got scared. What's happened to my son? You're a preacher. I wasn't like a preacher growing up. As he was raising me, he didn't think of me as being a preacher. And he said, Mama, close the shop. We're going to New Mexico. We got to find out what's happening. And he came out there and talked to me. And I took him to church. And we came home, and this was his evaluation. You don't know what you found here. You just do not know how rare this is, son. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. They're preaching right, and the Spirit of God is moving. Wow, I did not know what a special thing that was. We're a little bit dead lately. I'd like to see some souls get saved. I'd like to see some sinners brought in. And I'd like to see some repentance of some of you wicked rascals. Amen? Amen, amen or oh me. What's the problem? You think it's the songs we sing, that we don't have a choir up here, or that we don't have a band up here, we don't have a drummer going dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, you know? That's not it. That's not the problem. I've been in revival. I've been in this church when we were in revival. Amen. I've been in this church where, man, you could cut the spirit with a knife. It was that thick. It was that heavy. It was that close. It was that good. Oh, I'd love to see another day like that again. Yeah. I don't think we're through. I don't think the Holy Spirit's through with saving souls. I don't think the Holy Spirit's through with using the men and women in this church. I don't. This is the best church I was ever in. I'm the happiest with this church of any that I ever started or was a part of. But I know the difference between a spirit-led church and one that's just going on their own. And I'm afraid we're just about going on our own. And that's a shame. Now, I want to read verse 1 and 2. Of chapter 59, excuse me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. You're sweet people. I couldn't go to you and say, I see this is sin or something like that, and I'd have no rebuke for you whatsoever, but something's wrong with all of us. Something's wrong with all of us. It's called the power of the Spirit of God. That's what's wrong. We don't have enough of the power of the Spirit of God moving in the services or moving in our witnesses or moving among our family, and we need it. You don't get saved without the Spirit of God. You don't get just saved because some guy is some dynamic speaker. You don't get saved because somebody touches your heart emotionally or gives you a joke or two in a sermon and you say, wow, what a great message. That doesn't save you. It saves you when God convicts you of your sin. Anybody here without it? I mean, mine are forgiven. Hope yours are too. But that doesn't mean I don't suffer from what I do. It doesn't mean that my life is as it ought to be if I were living more totally for the Lord in a spiritual way. I don't want an average life. I don't want an average ministry. I don't want an average church. I want something full of the Spirit of God. Well, now here's what he's talking about. He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to God's people. That's who Isaiah is talking to. God's people. That's who I'm talking to today. I'm not basically preaching a salvation message, although we're going to get to the salvation, but I'm talking to God's people and your attitude. I've seen God's people split over the stupidest things. I've seen God's people get their temper just all out of shape. And I've seen people where there are two people in the same church, they just can't put up with each other. Well, that's wrong. That's not of the Spirit of God. When I built that first church, two of the men that helped me build it got in a fight the very first service. One of them left never to come again. Was that of the Spirit of God? No, it was not. It was of the spirit of the devil and the spirit of selfish human beings and people who think in their pride they're smarter than everybody else around. You're not. Did you hear me? I didn't hear any amens on that. You're not the smartest. You're not the only one that has a vision. You're not the only one that has an opinion. Isn't it an amazing thing that you're not all that much? Well, I'm not either. Here's what it says. The Lord's hand's not shortened. Now, what is our problem? Is it that God doesn't have the power to save people anymore? No, no, that's not what it is. Isaiah's telling them, the Lord's hand is not shortened. It isn't that God can't reach you. You praying today? You got a burden on your heart? You got a real tragedy in your family? You got something that's holding your emotions in check? And you all of a sudden you're saying, I just can't reach you. No, God's hand's not short. He lives inside of you if you're saved. Have you thought about that? He's not a long ways away. He's not over there behind the sun or out behind the North Star. He lives inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. The Bible says the Holy Spirit prays for you for the will of God. You just pray. He'll work out some things for you. Don't get an attitude. Get a repentant mind. Get a mind that says, I am not all I ought to be. You're not. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Some idiot might raise his hand and say he's all he's got to be. You're not. It's not that God's hand is short. Do you understand that? The God you serve has a strong arm, and he can reach any place he wants to. In fact, it says he put out the heavens with the span of his hand in the Psalms. And that is billions and billions of light years, according to our scientists today. That's the span of his hand. He threw out the heavens like that. He got no problem reaching you. He got no problem answering any prayer you could ask him. He could do it if he wanted to. Had to be in his will. And it's not always God's will to take you out of trouble. I thank God it was God's will so far in this Category 4 hurricane that he missed us. I feel very sorry for Houston and Rockport and Corpus and Port Aransas and Gonzales and the whole Victoria and all these places. That's millions of people that are going through suffering right now, and God sees it. And he can handle it. He can help. You can pray, and God can. He has the ability to change what you need changed. His hand's not shortened. Well, what about his ear heavy? Woo, I had one child, 7 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren Tuesday. Boy, the noise was in my living room. Oh, they were playing, and they moved things here and moved things there. And I thought, I am not taking them to any restaurant. We're going to fry the pizza right here. How about that for a grandfather and a great-grandfather? Whoa, pure pandemonium. All these little kids going every different direction, you know. They were sweet. They weren't bad at all, but it's just pure pandemonium. You know why you mothers get frustrated? If you're running around after 4 of those things all day long, all week long, no wonder you're frustrated. Amen? I feel for you ladies. I really do. My wife, after Billy was born, and she had Eddie and Billy just 13 months apart. And boy, it didn't take but a year, and they were twins. And boy, they're going everywhere. She lost weight. She went down to 118 pounds. When I married her, she's 135. You know what? She was chasing those 2 boys. That's what happened to her. She got plenty of exercise. My wife would never exercise, but she would work. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. How about his ear heavy? Is he so tired of your prayers? Have you been praying so much that you've worn God down? Anybody? I've read about people that were tremendous in prayer. A fellow like E.M. Bounds, or some of these missionaries, and some life story, George Mueller. They're people that did things by prayer, and it's a wonderful thing. Absolutely wonderful to see answers to prayer and how God has helped these men and women that were really on fire for God and really had a desire for God. Have you worn God down with your praying? Is that what the problem of the church is? Reason why we're not seeing souls saved, reason why we don't have a burden for certain things, is it because you've worn God down and he's not listening anymore? No! No! What he told Israel back there, Isaiah told Israel, was God's hand's not short, God's ear's not heavy. That's what he told them. Now what's the problem then? If God's hand is not short, if he's still got a big strong arm and a great big hand, and he's got good hearing, what's the problem? He says it very clearly. Your iniquities. Well, I know, you know what I'm talking to today? I'm talking to faithful people in a strictly fundamental church. By most standards we judge everybody, I'd say you're better than most. I'm proud of you. But let me ask you something. Are you full of the Spirit of God? Do you pray and get answers to prayer? When you go to God, are you thankful? Ought to be thankful. When you go to God, do you have a burden? Do you have a burden for somebody besides you and your immediate family? I don't have problems praying for my kids, my grandkids, or my great-grandkids. They're mine. You understand? I have a little bit of a problem praying for the poor sinners down in Corpus and Rockport and Port Aransas and Houston. I don't know them. They don't touch my heart. Maybe they ought to. But I'm not bending God's ear enough. Are you? Are you, if we picked out who are the real prayer soldiers in this fine congregation, and I do believe that in truth. I'm not making fun that way. I believe you are a fine congregation in comparison to a whole lot of them. Good people. I love you. I thank God for you. But are you praying enough? Do you have a burden for anything? Is there anything you want? Is there anything you want to ask God for? Are you going to burden God? Can you bend his ear? He said my house would be called a house of prayer. Isn't that right? It's house of prayer. Every Wednesday night when we have our season of praying, it might be looking a little confused to some people, and they wouldn't necessarily like it or enjoy it. And in fact, most of the Christian churches don't even have a prayer meeting night anymore. So we're unusual even in that. But you know something? I'm amazed that God wants to pay attention to what I have to say. I'm amazed. I'm thankful for God's mercy that he saved my soul and changed my life and gave me a wonderful ministry. I just thank God all the time. But on Wednesday night, when I sit down with the group that maybe sits in an area where I'm at, and I talk to God, you know who you're talking to? God. I have respect for an agnostic who would say, I don't know which name is of God of all the gods. I don't know whether there be a God or not a God. I can understand him not knowing which one to pick. I have no respect for an atheist. I have no respect for his intelligence. He may have 3 PhDs and 2 THDs, and he may be teaching and with gray hair hanging down the back, fluffy and whatever, in some college class, and everybody thinks he's the greatest mind in the world. And he said, there is no God. It's all by evolution. That's stupid. That is not even intelligent. I got a DNA that makes me who I am. I'm amazed that they can find it. That's wonderful. Tells me I'm 82% English and Irish. Okay? I'll buy that. That's what my dad told me all the time growing up. You're Scotch, Irish, and Dutch boy. He called my mama a kraut. Said she was black Dutch. You know something? We ought to pray more. If God, the God that could do all of those things, tells us to pray, and if he tells us to repent of our sins, and you still have sins. Amen. You still have sins. Boy, I'm not getting many amens on this sermon. Of course, I really didn't figure I would. Your sins don't burden you. They don't bother you. You like your sins. Am I right? Yes, sir. Amen or oh me, Brother Lindell. Amen. One. Praise the Lord. Good man. Is his ear heavy? Has he gone off into a farther part of the universe and he's not paying attention to you? That's not what I read. I believe this Bible is the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. And let me tell you something about it. It tells me that God answers prayer. One of the biggest doctrines, if you take the volume of Scripture given to it, one of the biggest doctrines in this whole Bible, Old and New Testament alike, is prayer. God up mighty that could send all these stars out and this vast universe that's multiplied millions of light years across it. And they've only found one little ball like us with water, one blue planet. And everything has to be in just exactly the right proportion or we'd all die. And there's no God. That's an accident. I used to think, well, it's sort of like believing that the Encyclopedia Britannica happened in an explosion in a print factory. Sort of stupid, isn't it? It never did. A lot of people put some effort out. His hand is not sharp, brother. We need his hand. His ear is not dull. He's not dull of hearing. He does not get old. He's the Ancient of Days, but he does not get old. I'm getting old. You got to talk a little louder for me. Some of the people in the open meeting, I'm trying to see what they said. I don't know where to say amen or oh me. Because I don't have a good hearing anymore. It's going, man, I'm getting old. Well, your iniquities is separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, he is not talking to the lost. He is talking to the people of God. I'm not talking to the lost right now. I'm talking to the people of God that are in this room today, you. Could we start a revival? Yes, we could. If we get God in on it. If we get to the place where God would answer your prayer. If you'd pray enough so he knows that you mean it. I saved a lot of money as a poor father. I was a poor father most of my life. I never gave them what they asked me for the first time. They had to ask me again, second, third, whatever. Okay, maybe they really want it. I'll spend my money on it then. Billy tells you he had a hard raising. He did. I was hard on my kids. But at any rate, God here says your iniquities and your sins to these people have made God where he says, I don't want to hear from you. Now you may be the sweetest little grandmother in here, but is God impressed with your love of him? Amen? Is God impressed with the changes you've made in your life? Is God impressed with your sacrifices that you give? Is God impressed in the way you testify? Have you done anything that would impress the God of heaven who saved your soul, loved you with an everlasting love? Have you done anything to make him know you are thankful? Well, when? How long has it been? Is it every day? Some of you women would be upset if your husband didn't say, I love you every day. How about God? Does he ever get an I love you? He ought to. Nobody's done more for you than God. I don't know what our iniquities are. I'm not sure what our sins are. Is it just laziness? Or is it you're putting something else in front of God? You know, we have so many things. It just amazed me. These new phones and computers and stuff like that, they just dominate people's time. I'm really not interested in them, but so I don't have that particular sin so I can pick on you. But I tell you what, we got a lot of attention on everything but God. We're burdened about a new job or a new car or a new house or to keep us safe from the hurricane. But are we burdened about lost souls? Are we burdened about our mother or father that are lost, or our son or daughter that are lost, or our friends that are lost, or our working people that we're lost? I don't think we have that much of a burden. What do you think God thinks about that? Is he proud of you for that? No, he's not. Your iniquities, your sins. Do you have any iniquities? Do you have any sins? Do you recognize them enough to confess them? And if confessing's not enough, how about repentance? You ever heard of that word? Repentance. Confess and repent. Oh, I know we're busy. I know some of you are working two jobs. Some of you got kids all through the house, so you just got everything going for you, and you're busy. And I understand you're busy, but you can be busy and still be thinking about God. You can be busy and you can still pray. You know, you can pray while you're driving down the streets of San Antonio. Amen. You don't have to get on your knees and close your eyes. You can say, Lord, and talk to Him with your eyes open and watching traffic. You're a multitasker. I know you can do it. I'm sure you have the skill to do that. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 2. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Oh, you reckon God has visited you in the last month? Do you reckon God called, that God spoke, that God looked for an answer from you in the last month? He said, when I came, no man. No man. When I called, nobody said, yes, Lord. Remember Samuel? Little boy Samuel? Serving the priest? And God called him one night, and he thought it was Eli. And he went to him. And he went to him two or three times in the night. And Eli, spiritual man, sort of caught on and said, that's the Lord. Why don't you say, here I am, Lord? Evidently, Isaiah is telling them God came to them and no man received him. That's something. Have you missed out on the signals that God has for you? Have you crushed the consciousness of sin or failure or laziness or lust or stupidity or just being too busy with things that aren't spiritual and won't count anyway? What are you busy with? What are your treasures? Wow, I like my guns. Well, there's some of you got a closet full. You got a closet full of guns. They say, oh, look at this gun. This was owned by so-and-so. Look at this gun right here. It'll do this. Oh, some of you have got cut glass. I had a friend, a man, and he showed me had a beautiful cabinet with a glass on it, and all inside it was all this cut glass. I'd just soon have plastic, but it was beautiful. It was his treasure. What's your treasure? What's your treasure? Do you reckon your treasure offends God? Would that be possible? That what you treasure, what you spend your money on, what you have pride in, is actually an offense to God? Where does God fit into your schedule of prayer? Is he number one? Or is your wife or husband or boy or girl or job or... where do they fit? Could it possibly be that a church full of born-again believers filled with the Spirit of God, sealed till the day of redemption, going to heaven for an eternity, have put God so far down the list he's insulted? That's true. The best soul in here may be doing that. The best street preacher just may be putting God somewhere further down the list. Some of you love your dogs more than you love God. Amen. Oh me. I walked through a store and I had this sign. It said, my dog thinks I'm awesome. I bought it. It's hanging on my wall now. I thought, somebody thinks I'm awesome. My dog thinks I'm awesome. When I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? That's Isaiah pleading to the Jews in his day. God came and God called. Maybe your ears were dull of hearing. Maybe your hand was the hand that was short. It's not God's hand that's shortened, and it's not His ears that are heavy. It's your hand that's shortened, and your ears that are heavy. In Genesis 18:14, the verse says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Poor old Abraham. Faithful man. Father of the faithful. I doubt you have the piety that Abraham had. He's sort of our father in the faith. God said, "I'm going to give you a son. You are going to have a son that's going to reign as a king, and kings are going to come out of your loins, and the whole world's going to be blessed out of your faith." Man, they worked at it and worked at it and worked at it, and Sarah didn't have a child. She couldn't get pregnant. So Sarah decides she'll help God out. And she gives her young maid to old Abraham, and they get Ishmael. Now, Abraham's a father, and Ishmael is a real boy. Ishmael is no sissy. You read about him. He had him one son growing up. Abraham pleads with God, let Ishmael serve you. Let Ishmael be my heir. He was an heir of Abraham, wasn't he? He just wasn't of Sarah. He was an heir through a slave girl, not an heir through a free woman. Now, at 90 years old, she bears a son. Abraham's 100. Let me ask you something about that. Why wouldn't God let Ishmael be? Wasn't His will. It didn't fulfill the promise He had made to Abraham. And so He comes down and visits him. And here's old Ishmael. He's 12 years old. He's a strapping lad. He's a hunter and a fisher and a fighter and a boy. Bull rider. Probably a camel rider. But. And Abraham said, let Ishmael. He loved him. Do you think he loved him any less than he loved Isaac? No. He loved Ishmael. He was proud of Ishmael. He wanted Ishmael to reign for him. It was his will to go against God's will, this great man of the faith. And God says, anything too hard for the Lord? You got a problem today? You don't have one that big. You don't have one that big. Can God answer Sarah's prayer? Can God answer His promise? Can He fulfill what He's promised? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Do you know what He's promised? Do you read the promises of God? You know, I'm a little ashamed of most Christians I know of their how little they know of the Word of God. That's the truth. And I go to churches, and when I used to preach out and go into a lot of other places, I would just be amazed. I was amazed how little of the Bible they were teaching. They were telling stories. They were making jokes. They were putting on shows. They were making grand music. They were doing all sorts of things. And they had a little 15 sermonette for Christianettes who smoke cigarettes. They didn't know the Bible. They didn't know the Word of God. You're not there. You got good doctrine in this church. You got a Bible. You know is their authority. You can question your preachers on that same authority. You need to know, and you need to call upon God, and you need to pray, and we're not going to have revival till something happens. Till there's some repentance in you. Anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Who are we dealing with? We're dealing with God. You're not dealing with an old preacher or a middle-aged preacher or a young preacher. No, you're not doing that. You're not dealing with a government that changes their mind every few years. You're dealing with God, and the Bible says His Word is established in heaven. It's settled. It's settled. That's who you're dealing with. Do you appreciate that? Evidently, we don't enough. I know I don't enough. I don't believe you do either. I want a revival. I want a revival where souls get saved. I want a revival where people surrender to preach. I want a revival where people quit doing some of the stupid things they do and get some convictions. Get some convictions that would please the Lord. You know in your own hearts. Amen. You know what God wants you to do. You know what would make you a better Christian for God, a better witness, a better servant, a better son, a better church member. You know. And yet you don't do anything about it. Could that be the sins and iniquities that he was talking about to the children of Israel? I've only got to the third or fourth verse. I have a whole lot more, and I'm going to close it down. Because I don't want to make you the last ones to go to Luby's. I told that as a joke, but I'm just as serious as a heart attack. We need to come repentant to God and get His blessing upon our preaching and our tracts and our witnessing and our prayers. We need to come to God and give up anything He wants us to give up. I don't care what it is. I don't care what somebody else thinks about it. It's between you and God. Had a young man, when I had a bunch of young men in the church, he had two beautiful, beautiful dogs. They were his pride. He gave them up because he had too much pride in them. You think that's foolish? No, no, no. That was smart. That was smart. They stood between him and his first priority, the Lord. What do you got? What do you got that's in your way? What sort of baggage are you carrying on your back right today, right now, that keeps you from running free to God? I hope you're saved. Jesus Christ saves souls. You confess your sins, you repent of your sins, and Jesus Christ will save your soul if you'll trust Him. But Christian friend, I believe most of you are saved. I believe you're the sweetest Christians I know. I love you. I literally love you. But I want to see revival. I want to see the power of God come upon my life and your life and this church and this sound. We got a million people to reach. You talk about a mission field, we got one. We need the help of God. Heavenly Father, turn our hearts to You. Bring revival to us. Touch our hearts and lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.